Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 11th day of February 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Take a look at solar energy and how it can be used and installed on the farm. And we'll discuss the agricultural cash grain market, too, that with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenorm from T-Storm in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for this Thursday afternoon, futures in the corn pit finished unchanged for the March contract at 360 and a quarter, May at 365, down a quarter, and July down a half at 369 and three quarters, September corn at $3.74 and a half down one, and next year's December at 382 and three quarters of a cent lower. March soybean futures up 11 and a quarter, $8.73 and a half, the May at 877 and three quarters, up 10 and three quarters, and July futures 10 and a half higher, $8.83. November beans at $8.87 and three quarters, up a dime. Bean meal futures for the day up $2.70 at $2.6370. The bean oil at $31.59, 58 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat, March contract $4.58 and a quarter, down three. The July three quarters lower at $4.68 and three quarters. And the hard red in the July at $4.64 and a quarter, down a quarter of a cent. Live cattle futures, February contract $130.30, down $2.17 and a half. April at $129.67 and a half, down $2.12 and a half cents. March feeders at $150.60 or 62 and a half lower, in the April at $150.25, down $1.10. Lean hogs for the day at $65.55, up 40 cents. Just a quick reminder that you can pick up your tickets from willag.org for the all-day agricultural outlook. It comes up the 8th day of March, or you can dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analysts there, plus four more at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The $30 ticket, this is unbelievable, includes both the lunch and the Beef House morning coffee and roll. It's a great buy. You can do that right now online at willag.org. It's willag.org.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets at this hour. The energies are now trading crude oil at $26.95. They're down 50 cents. March futures in the ethanol at $1.37 and 2 tenths of a cent, a penny and a tenth lower. Gasoline at 94 and 4 tenths of a cent is a penny and 3 tenths higher, and heating oil at 99 and a half cents. That's up 2 and a tenth of a cent. Natural gas for the day at $1.99 and 3 tenths is a nickel and 3 tenths of a cent lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 15,618, down 247 points. The U.S. dollar at 95.605. That's down 0.331. And the gold futures for the day at $1,241.50. They're up about $5.50 at this time. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly sunny skies today, a high of 22 degrees. Tonight, a 30% chance of snow. That'll be come mainly between midnight and 3 a.m. Cloudy, a low of 15. Wind chills this evening between 5 and 10 above. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of snow, mainly before the noon hour. Cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high of 26 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of just 5 degrees. Wind chills between 2 below and 12 below on Friday evening. North-northwest winds at 15 to 18. They'll gust to 28. That's why it feels so darn cold. And Saturday, sunny skies, a high of just 14 degrees. Our second Arctic blast for the week. We'll have north-northwest winds at 7 to 11, gusting only to 15 miles an hour. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. A couple of items. First, don't forget to pick up your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook, willag.org, or 800-898-1065. Tickets are just $30. The all-day is the 8th day of March. That's a Tuesday, the second one in that month, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Again, willag.org. You'll find a button there that says buy online, and or you can call this number, 800-898-1065. The other item is that the CME Group is shortening up just by a bit, well, a little bit more than a bit, to 4.5 hours total. The livestock trade beginning on February the 29th won't really make too much of a difference for our on-air product, other than I've been reading, as you probably have made note, livestock numbers that are still trading. That trade's going to start at 8:30. It will end at 1:05 p.m. Central Time. So just a four-hour trade starting February the 29th for the livestock, and let's say that's for the month of March going forward. It's easier to remember that way, and it will stop trading at 1:05 in the afternoon. Now, let's talk about these markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. Hey, thanks, Dan, for waiting for me this afternoon. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
You know, I saw something that did not appear in my numbers, and most of my numbers are 20 minutes delayed, so I don't know whether there's a bump in crude oil, but I saw something that said OPEC may have decided to get back together and try to control the flow of oil. But it hasn't had an impact, at least yet, that I see in the marketplace.
No, they did make some kind of announcement. I've been watching one of the business channels here, and OPEC made some kind of comment that they were at least going to get together and visit about it, because a lot of your OPEC countries cannot produce oil for $30. I think Venezuela probably needs something like $60 or $65, and I don't know what the others, but I did read though that Saudi Arabia can probably pump oil for $10 a barrel, and they've been one of them that have really been pumping out the oil. And I don't know where Iran's at, what kind of cost production they have, but when Iran kicks in gear. But my guess is they may get together and visit a little bit. But I think the days of the OPEC cartel that set prices, that day is over. I think U.S. fracking pulled the plug on that. With the oil that we've been pumping out of the United States over the past 5 years. And then the overall, I think they got too greedy, let prices go too high. And then, you know, if you look at the average, you know, miles-wise, I guess, in the U.S., we're driving the same amount of miles, but anybody that's bought a new car, basically over the past 5 to 6 years, has got a much more fuel-efficient car that's getting more miles to the gallon. So overall consumption of gasoline is flat. So if it's flat and you're increasing crude oil production and increasing gasoline supplies, there's no place for it to go but go down. Well, we're experiencing that in agriculture because demand is flat or declining, and we're still at full throttle on production. So what the function of the market is to seek a level that people will stop producing oil, and that probably has happened in OPEC. Some of the country says, you know, we can't produce oil at this level, so we're going to have to figure out a way to cut back to try to bring it back to at least cost production. And that same thing in agriculture, what we're trying to do is seek out a price level that will discourage planted acres, will discourage production. We all know that that's easier said than done, and I think OPEC's going to find out that's easier said than done. I'm old enough to remember the old NFO holding days where they used to hold hogs off the market for a higher price or hold corn or whatever, and that failed, that fizzled. And my guess is any attempt to raise prices in this economy with the stock market going down 300 points a day and the China economy having slowed dramatically, I just don't think any of that's going to do any good. But you never know.
Some interesting stories you mentioned of the NFO, or the National Farmers Organization, which started in a small town in Iowa. I was reading some history about it just recently, and one of the things that they had done was to dump a whole bunch of milk down a hill in that town, but the milk soured, and it didn't go anywhere at the bottom of the hill. It was kind of a rough time there, I think, in the summer.
Well, it was, it started in Cornell, Iowa, and I think their first president was Orrin Lee Staley or something like that. But I remember when they had their hog holding, they tried to, hold hogs off the market. Well, a lot of farmers went ahead. After the price went up, other farmers went in and took advantage of it, so it failed.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen in a free market capitalistic society. And now more so that we're in a world market, I just think trying to get anybody to agree on anybody, I think we're just in a point in time in history that nobody can agree on anything. And I don't think you have to look very far to find that. And so I think, good luck if they're, able to stabilize crude oil. But it's definitely, having a major impact in the states of Texas and North Dakota, your two big fracking states. And that's why the stock market is declining, because cheap energy prices, actually the energy boom in the United States created a lot of jobs to offset the jobs that were being lost ever since the 2008 Great Recession, or the big decline. So now we're going to lose a lot of those energy jobs, and the stock market is basically telling us that we're going into a recession. Now, the dollar, I find interesting. It's kind of gone into a tailspin. It's again lower again today. Gold prices were sharply higher. So I think that's telling us that we put our assets in gold and get out of the country, I guess. to go to the Cayman Islands, convert it to gold, and if you can get it on a boat, get to the Cayman Islands. I think, anything, what we've experienced over, since 2008 with the big expansion of money, the currency devaluation that's happened around the world, it's not only U.S., it's Japan, it's China, it's the EU, Europe, everybody has been to a race to the bottom. So we got a lot of currencies around. I think eventually that will all spill over and be price positive to real assets, but it doesn't happen overnight. But I think gold is your leading indicator. I've indicated that a couple months ago. Keep an eye on gold, and it just keeps climbing. I think it's already above the 15 high. I think we're making big moves in gold, and I think that's something to watch. And I think then the next thing to watch is your other metals, whether it be copper, silver, steel, aluminum, and all your real asset type stuff, is going to be reflected in this big currency expansion that we've had over the past, 8 to 10 years anyway.
Hey, thanks so much for your thoughts. We didn't even touch on the grains and the oil seeds, but that's okay, because you're on Commodity Week this afternoon. And we'll have you back for that. People can listen to you tonight up on the web at willag.org, or tomorrow afternoon during Commodity Week. That comes up on most of these radio stations at 2:36 on Fridays. Thanks so much, and we'll talk with you in half an hour or so.
Very well, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Go online to buy your tickets to the All Day Ag Outlook right now, willag.org, willag.org. They're just $30. They'll go quickly. In fact, they are going quickly, so do it now. Don't wait. I have willag.org, or just call this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Get your tickets to the All Day Ag Outlook. It's Tuesday, the 8th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Details are online, and you know, I'll continue to tell you about them for a few weeks yet to come. Now, up next, have you heard about REAP? This is the Rural Energy for America program, which offers grants and guarantees and loans for qualified, energy-efficient, and renewable energy projects to rural small businesses and agricultural producers. Well, if you haven't and you're thinking about solar power, you might want to visit SolarUrbanaChampaign.com, or you can go to a special Solar Urbana Champaign Power Hour at the Champaign County Farm Bureau on the 24th of this month to learn how rural small businesses and ag producers can realize greater benefits from installing solar energy. On that note, there is something you can do this weekend as well. Scott Willenbrock is a professor here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, but on his home, he has solar panels installed, and he's going to open the house up, or at least the top of the house, I guess, this weekend, so folks can get a look at solar panels and how they might use them in their homes and businesses. Tell me about it.
So not just the roof of the house, the whole house is open. We're having I'm hosting a power hour at my house this Saturday at 2 p.m. And you'll hear about opportunities for homeowners, business owners, and farmers to install solar. It's a very, very attractive program. If you're a homeowner, it's a great deal. If you're a business owner, it's even a better deal. If you're a farmer, it's too good to be true, almost. It's an incredible deal. So I encourage you all to come and hear about it.
So what will they find at your home?
So we'll have I'll have my living room set up for people to listen to a presentation from the Champaign-Urbana Solar Program. I'll talk a little bit about my own house. I have a large solar array at my house, 69 solar modules. And then you'll hear a presentation from the people who would actually be installing at your home or business or farm. And they will tell you in particular about why this is attractive financially for you. So, you know, you can do it for the environment, but you can also do it if you're a savvy businessman.
Why do you think the government is involved in this process?
Well, the government is trying to spearhead energy efficiency and renewable energy any way it can. And this is one avenue it can. It can support solar. And as you probably know, the solar investment tax credit has been extended until 2020. And so there's going to be lots of opportunities for solar to be installed in the nation. But in particular, right now, the state of Illinois, or through the state of Illinois, there's these sale of these so-called solar renewable energy certificates that you will get a check every year or every 3 months. I forget how it's done exactly. For the solar energy you produce. So that makes it even more attractive financially. So this is like the best time to get in.
Do you like it?
Oh, I love it. In fact, my electric bill, my utility bill every month is exactly the same. It's $17.70. That's the customer charge and the meter charge. I produce all the electricity I need for my home and for my two electric cars. I don't use any natural gas. So I am completely, energy independent in that sense.
You're on the grid, but off the grid.
I sell to the grid on a day like today, for example, where it's very sunny, even though it's cold outside, I'm selling electricity to the grid. On a cloudy, snowy day, I'll be buying electricity from the grid. Of course, at night, I'm buying it off the grid. But over the course of a year, I am net zero. And it's not just my house. It's also my two electric cars that I'm powering.
Wow. So tell me, people can come this weekend. It's at 2 o'clock. Where's your home?
Oh, it's at 1017 West White Street in Champaign.
1017 West White Street in Champaign. So you're right near campus.
I am. I sometimes walk to campus.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming by.
You're welcome.
Scott Willenbrook from here on campus. He's opening his house up this Sunday at 2 o'clock for a solar Urbana-Champaign Power Hour. If you'd like to learn more about it or about the upcoming event at the Champaign County Farm Bureau, you can visit solarurbanachampaign.com. Oops, I think I said Sunday there. His house is open Saturday. It's the 13th day of February. But visit that website and you'll find all the details. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here. He's traveling again this week, I think, in Iowa to talk about it. He's with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds. Where are you in Iowa this week?
Well, right now I'm in Perry, Iowa, and I'll be in Ames this evening. Just doing presentations on the market for mostly for channel people.
And what are producers in that area? And I know you're talking with Channel Seedsmen, but they have a good link, I know, to the producers. But what are they really thinking at this point? Because they should have, they had a good crop, and they probably have a lot of crop, and they have a really wide basis at this point.
Well, you know, right in here where I'm at, they had a good crop. They didn't quite have the bumper crop that some of them did a little farther north. And so they're pretty frustrated with the basis because, again, their basis is running anywhere from, you know, 30. I heard a couple guys say 15, but I also heard a couple guys say 30 or more under. So it depends on how close they are to an ethanol plant and whatnot. But definitely a challenge for a lot of them, especially if they had a, you know, a sub-200 average.
Do you get the feeling that they have held on to grain longer than they usually do in that part of the world as well as they did here in our part of the world?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's more ownership up here, just similar to what there is at home. There's a lot of questions as to, you know, how can I go ahead and maybe sell some of this grain and still participate if we get some sort of a rally, but yet, you know, I don't want to stick my neck too far out there. And so those kind of questions have happened more this year than I've ever seen before. And, you know, there is a lot of tools. And, of course, with the, especially with the corn market lately, the volatility is slim to none. So you can get into one of those strategies very cheaply.
Yeah, and so you would be talking about the volatility for the options, and they tend to be pretty cheap. Is that where you were headed?
Yeah, you know, like for instance, if a guy wants to sell his corn and then put the cash in his pocket and then maybe buy a bull call spread either in the July or the Sep, you can get, you know, a bull call spread for maybe a dime to 12 cents where you get a, you know, a 30, 40, 50 cent spread pretty easy. So it'll give you a chance to really participate if the market goes up, but you've also kind of got a floor underneath the market while you've got the money in your pocket.
And did you get a look at the marketplace? Did you see the beans rallied nearly a dime today? And what'd you think of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, with some strength in the palm oil prices, you know, and people are talking that maybe China's not going to back off on purchases as much as what was previously thought, there's a little bit of excitement. We got to keep in mind, you know, in the last week before today, we'd seen bean prices go down 15 cents. So we're just trying to get back a little bit of what we've lost.
Anything else from your part of the world there over in Iowa we ought to know about the grain trade today?
No, I just think that a lot of producers right now are trying to figure out what they're going to do with this old crop, and I think they need to be proactive rather than reactive because there's a lot of things they can do to make the, put themselves in a much better position.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett, of course, is with Channel Seeds, Bennett Consulting. He's normally out of Windsor, Illinois, and traveling this week in the great state of Iowa. You can see him on our All-Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House on the 8th day of March. Just buy your tickets at $30. WillAg.org, 800-898-1065. It's quick, simple, easy to do. It's a great show, and we'll have a dozen of our analysts and a few extras around the outside of that area as well. Again, WILLAG. .org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Peppermint Patty Day. It's also Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the first hospital in America opened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to do the work of Benjamin Franklin. In 1785, the Philadelphia Society for Promoting Agriculture was founded, It is the oldest active agricultural organization in the U.S. In 1802, Lydia Maria Frances Child was born. She wrote books of advice for women, including The Frugal Housewife. In 1928, the first Lazy Boy reclining chair was invented. Designed with a piece of plywood and a yardstick, the finished model was a wood slat porch chair. Upholstered chairs did not come until the spring of 1929. And in 1994, use of the genetically engineered growth hormone for cows, RBGH, began. The approval process took almost a decade. It was the first time that altered genes were approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for injection into live animals. The growth hormone improved a cow's milk production by as much as 15 pounds a day. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget to pick up those tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook, 800-898-1065, or online at willag.org. Mike Tenora is here now. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the weather forecast across the planet. I guess a brand new report has been released about El Nino. What does it say, Mike?
Well, it pretty much says exactly what we've been talking about for a long time now, and that is that we have a strong El Nino in place, but it is weakening, and it's expected to rapidly weaken over the next several months. The official forecast is for the El Nino to officially end sometime in May, June, or July, and all indications are that that will happen. We've been watching that situation now for many months, and we've seen that the El Nino peaked around November 22nd, and has been slowly tapering off ever since, with the real rapid weakening more than likely about to begin. It typically starts about 2 to 3 months after the initial weakening, and that's right about the frame that we're going to move into.
And so that's on course, as you were thinking about. Maybe we better turn our attention to other places across the planet. In particular, when I talked this morning and this afternoon, too, with Dan Zwicker, who's in Waco, Texas, he tells me it hasn't rained there for quite some time. Are we concerned at all about the Southwest?
Well, it's not time to be concerned, but it is time to be aware. Essentially, what's happened in the Southern Plains is that we had a lot of rain earlier in the fall and into the winter. Remember that we had the super wet November, December across the Midwest. Well, that same pattern was also affecting much of the plains. Ever since about the first week of January, it essentially stopped raining, and that's left much of Texas and Oklahoma drier to much drier than normal. In fact, most of Texas has received less than half of its normal rainfall over the last 30 days, and that's affecting a majority of the hard red winter wheat crop in Oklahoma and Texas. On top of that, temperatures yesterday actually reached the 80s. It may seem unbelievable to somebody sitting in Illinois. Highs were only in the 10s and 20s yesterday, but if you were willing to drive about 800 miles to the west, it was a much different story. The entire western half of the United States right now is being dominated by a very large upper-level high. This has turned much of that region very warm, and at once has extended into livestock and meat areas of the plains. Now, the big question is whether or not this is the first signal of what may be to come later on in the spring and summer, or if this is just some type of anomaly. Normally, we would see wetness in the southern plains, in the southern third of the U.S. for that matter, in the winter and spring of an El Nino, but that should be still taking place, but it's not. Again, there's a lot of time here to think about this, but it is something we're aware of, and it is something we'll watch. Not much in the way of rain for that region for at least 1 week, and arguably for 10 days or maybe more.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
Mike Tenura, of course, is with T-Storm Weather. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.